David Rovics was born in New York. He's a political songwriter, and since the mid-90s, he's been touring around the world, and he's performed before thousands of people. Before that, he was a solo artist on subways and in cafes, as well as a street musician. And I actually hadn't heard of him before this concert, but when I listened to his CD, I totally related the lyrics. So let's just say we're on the same page politically, and I totally admire what he's trying to do. So I'm just going to give the stage right over to David Rovics, and enjoy.
A song I co-wrote with GW. Can you hear me in the back when I'm speaking at this volume, or is it kind of quiet? No? A little louder? Oh, thank you. Great to be here. I didn't get the best welcome from immigration, but this is great to be here. They wouldn't let me in with my van or my guitar or my CDs, but I don't have a work permit, you know, so that's the way it goes. Free trade for the corporations, but the artists still get screwed. This is a song I co-wrote with GW, my greatest inspiration. Yours too, I suspect. That's a little nut, nut, but see, this is kind of the sound check, actually. I gotta fix that just a second. This guitar does? I believe it. It's a really nice one. Must kill somebody. We want a safer country, and it's in God we trust. So we'll bomb you during Ramadan, turn your world into dust. But pull up on your bootstraps, stand on your own 2 feet, as we blow them off with cluster bombs disguised as something to eat. We stand for freedom and prosperity. So we'll bomb your schools and hospitals, make sure you live in liberty. And all you evildoers, and your children and your wives, with our B-52s we'll show you how we value civilian lives. Give us your hungry, your restless, we'll show you democracy. A military trial and detention indefinitely. We'll have homeland security. Thomas Ridge, all hail. We may not find the terrorists, but we can throw the left in jail. And we will all be safe, and we shall have no fears. Once our retinas have been scanned, and all the walls have ears, and we're all in good hands. When the FBI is in the know, we're sure they'll look after us, just like they did with COINTELPRO. So hang a flag in the window, all hail to the chief. Follow the leader and suspend your disbelief. Our country, right or wrong, you know what to do. Sing, God bless America, that red, white, and blue. And if you haven't blessed America lately, this is your opportunity. I know you've been wanting to. When facing anyone with box cutters, we'll say put up your dukes. As we spend $50 billion on bombers and nukes, we're a beacon of light. And just to make the point, we'll cut taxes on the rich and throw the poor into the joint. And we'll bail out the airlines, get out your green fedoras. And for all you laid-off workers, we've got maquiladoras. Yes, capitalism will save us, for have you ever seen a more convincing proof than Enron in Argentina? So hang a flag in the window, all hail to the chief. Follow the leader and suspend your disbelief. Our country, right or wrong, you know what to do. Sing, God bless America, that red, white, and blue. Of evil, we'll bomb them down the skids. There will be no more terrorists once we kill their kids. People may starve and economies may crumble, but those folks will just have to learn to be more humble and give us your money, debt repayments with aplomb, while we scour the map for a country left to bomb. And as another city falls on our sacred American soil, at least we've got our daisy cutters and that Alaskan oil. So hang a flag in the window, all hail to the chief. Follow the leader and suspend your disbelief. Our country, right or wrong, you know what to do. Sing, God bless America, that red, white, and blue. Thank you. So Clinton was pretty good, but Bush is even better. And it's the modern technique seems to be to pre-satirize all the material. And that way, you know, I think they're hoping to get rid of the satirists that way. If they can, it's not going to work, though. This song is proof. You may or may not know this. You probably do, but because you don't have Knight Ridder controlling the entirety of the media here. But the invasion of Iraq had a different name originally for a few hours before they realized their acronymic mistake and changed it. We've got a situation, and it calls for a solution that upholds our domination of the planet. We're gonna make our case, and we're gonna make it well. And if you don't like our logic, you can can it. We'll use impeccable intelligence from any country in the world, as long as we all see eye to eye. And if we don't find quite what we need, we know what to do. Just look into the camera and lie. It's Operation Iraqi Liberation. Tell me, what does that spell? Operation Iraqi Liberation. O-I-L. That's the chorus. Sing with me. We'll lie about the missiles and the nuclear research. We'll lie about uranium. We'll build military bases and smile for reporters as we give away bubble gum. We'll lie about Bin Laden, his connections with the Saudis. We'll lie about 911. We'll lie about the Baathists, their connections to Al-Qaeda, because we know there's none. It's Operation Iraqi Liberation. Tell me, what does that spell? Operation Iraqi Liberation. O-I-L. Oh, that's lovely. You can tell we got the chorus in here as all the sort of ringers. We got 30 ringers. We'll lie about the North Koreans, and we'll lie about Iran, and don't mention Israel. Keep those nuclear weapons out of this song, and we'll all get together swell. And we'll liberate these people, we'll liberate their money, we'll liberate their soil. We'll liberate their harbors, we'll liberate their airports, and we'll liberate their oil. It's Operation Iraqi Liberation. Tell me, what does that spell? Operation Iraqi Liberation. O-I-L. One more time. Operation Iraqi Liberation. Tell me, what does that spell? Operation Iraqi Liberation. O-I-L. This is a song about somebody who never even made it to the stage of statistic on most of the U.S. media. His name was Mahmoud Al-Kayed. Another Friday morning, I was among the olive trees, out looking for birds to catch, my father, his friends, and me. I had my string and net, and a nimble eye, there beside the farmer's fields, where the songbirds fly. When you're catching birds, the world disappears, and a thousand songs of autumn are all that fills your ears. They sing their songs so brightly at the dawning of the day. They fly back and forth over the fence where we must stay away. You can see the birds beneath the clouds, watch them spread their wings, listen to the wind and the songbird sings. It's so good to come here, so far from all the sound of all the shooting and the shouting and the tanks upon the ground. I just wish I could live here among this olive grove, just me, my friends and family, and a small wood-burning stove. You can see the birds beneath the clouds, watch them spread their wings, listen to the wind and the songbird sings. Last week I caught three sparrows. It was quite a day. Now I'm bound for glory, that's what they say. I hear them talk about me, shedding tears upon a sack. Outside there lies a child with four bullets in his back. You can see the birds beneath the clouds, watch them spread their wings, listen to the wind and the songbird sings. You can see the birds beneath the clouds, watch them spread their wings, listen to the wind and the songbird sings.
Dobro.
This next song I'm going to be accompanied by dobro. By a dobro. And we've never done this song together before. But while he's getting ready, I'm going to just introduce the song. Oh, the slide. We need the slide for the dobro, huh? That's useful. So my favorite t-shirt is a t-shirt made in Canada. I think somebody in Alberta puts it out. It's called, it has a picture of G.W. Bush and the words international terrorist on it. And you can get your very own at internationalterrorists.com. And I find that it's the best t-shirt to wear in the U.S. to make friends. And especially outside of the U.S., it's even better. But within the U.S., it's really quite. I'm absolutely serious. In any urban area in the United States, I challenge you to wear that t-shirt and see if you will get any negative response, because you won't. People love it. Just be careful when you go to the suburbs, but you don't really need to be careful in the suburbs, because you know, white middle-class people tend to be sort of not directly violent themselves. They pay other people to do that, you know, kind of thing. They're thinking of their dental bills. I don't know what's going on in their heads. I got called a jackass by a yuppie in the airport one time in D.C., but that was about as mad as he could get, and he ran away after he said it, you know. But otherwise, like in urban areas, people are just like asking where I can get it, including in the airport. So the government workers, the transportation safety people, the customs people, of course, people at the chain stores, they all want to know where they can get it. They love it, you know. But I was in Houston, Texas one time. I'm often in Houston. Houston's about the ugliest city imaginable, but there's a lot of good people there. I was in the supermarket in the organic vegetable section, and there was one couple that did not like my t-shirt, and the older the man, he was his fingers were shaking. He was so angry at me, and he was pointing at Bush, and he was saying, "He's a man of God, he's a man of God." So I wrote this song for him.
Should we turn you up a little?
No, I can't.
I've seen you in the streets and at your political conventions, talking of your crusade, talking of your nation and other things too terrible to mention. And you proclaim your Christianity, you proclaim your love of God, you talk of apple pie and mom. I've just got one question and I want an answer. Tell me, who would Jesus bomb? Maybe Jesus would bomb the Syrians, 'cause they're not Jews like him. Maybe Jesus would bomb the Afghans on some kind of vengeful whim. Maybe Jesus would drive an M1 tank in. He would shoot Saddam. Who would Jesus bomb? I've seen you on the TV and on the battleships. I've seen you in the house upon the hill. And I've heard you talking about making the world safer and about all the men you have to kill. And you speak so glibly about your civilization and how you have the moral higher ground. While halfway around the world, your explosives smash the buildings. If you could only hear the sound. But maybe Jesus would sell landmines and turn on his electric chair. Maybe Jesus would show no compassion for his enemies in the lands way over there. Maybe Jesus would have flown the planes that killed the kids in Vietnam. Who would Jesus bomb? Yes, I hear you shout with confidence as you praise the Lord and you talk about this God you know so well. You talk of Armageddon and your final victory when all the evil forces go to hell. Well, you'd best hope you've chosen wisely on the right side of the Lord, and when you die, your conscience, it is clear. You'd best hope your atom bombs are better than the sword at the time when your reckoning is here. 'Cause I don't think Jesus would send gunships into Bethlehem or jets to raise the towns of Timorese. I don't think Jesus would lend money to dictators or drive those SUVs. I don't think Jesus would ever have dropped a single ounce of napalm. Who would Jesus bomb? Who would Jesus bomb? Who would Jesus bomb?
A song about all of you. What changed? Did we do anything? You didn't do anything. Did...
Yeah.
To the instrument mic?
There you go.
Oh. Alex was a member of my record label. Teenager though he is, he joined Every Vile Records in the indie music biz. His parents didn't like such turns of events, so they called up a couple of thugs. Send him back to Utah, lock him up, and pump him full of drugs. They say he's got problems with authority, yeah, this is what they claim. And their psychiatric analysis has even got a name.
oppositional defiant disorder. I think I got it too. Oppositional defiant disorder. He's sick and so are you. If you think George Bush is a moron and Tony Blair's a liar, if you fantasize about setting your local Walmart on fire, if you don't like Tom Brokaw and you think he's full of it, if you feel a Rush Limbaugh punching bag might be kind of fun to hit, if bombing other countries makes you feel appalled, you have got a problem, and this is what it's called. Oppositional defiant disorder. I think I got it too. Oppositional defiant disorder. He's sick and so are you. If you think school is boring and your teacher is a fool, if you don't like your congressman and you call them a corporate tool, if you were not standing to sing Save the Queen, if you turned down hamburgers and ate rice and beans, we've got a diagnosis, no matter whether you agree. Just do what the doctors tell you, thank God for psychiatry. Oppositional defiant disorder, I think I got it too. Oppositional defiant disorder. Sick and so are you.
Well, Canada doesn't have anything on the U.S. in terms of imperialism, but let's shut that off. But Canada is very competitive with the U.S. when it comes to environmental devastation. In fact, the water quality in your average Canadian city, I learned this from reading a Canadian newspaper, I don't know, a few months ago in Montreal or someplace, is that the water quality in your average Canadian city is actually worse than the water quality in the average American city. That's really sad. And not only that, but as you probably know, living here in BC, you're logging your forests even faster than we are. And so this is a song I'd like to dedicate to Paul Martin. Standing here on a highway turned into a lake, born on this planet that I didn't make. The ice caps are melting, you can measure the rise of the poisoned oceans, hear all the lies of the political pundits and corporate crooks. Their accountants and scientists cooking the books with hardly an inkling of what it's about. Wet to profit in flood and in drought, I'm talking to you from here at the end of the world. Standing here on the bayou amidst mountains of soil, washed up farmland covered in oil. 1 ton every acre, lost every year, and along with the pesticides it ends up right here. Millions of miles of chemical wheat, challenging all to try to compete and lay waste to your country like we've done to ours. Let them eat coffee, sugar, coca, and flowers. I'm talking to you from here at the end of the world. Here in the city, shrouded in smoke, 10 million people this morning awoke to a future of cancer, industrial disease. So let's build some more suburbs and buy SUVs. Cut down the mountains, burn all the coal, and put all the money in a humongous bowl. They'll call it progress and they'll blame it on you to end life as we know it, to enrich the few. I'm talking to you from here at the end of the world. You
Yes, I speak to you now from an occupied place. You might call it your home or a terrorist base. They'll send your sons and your daughters to make sure that it's theirs, while they sit in their mansions in plush leather chairs. And everyone's waiting for us to decide. In dust we were born, and in dust we reside. Will we realize commons is to shepherd and share? Here in this war zone called land, water, and air, I'm talking to you from here at the end of the world. I'm talking to you from here at the end of the world.
This is a really lovely guitar, whoever guitar I'm borrowing here.
Oops.
Watch it closely at the end of the night.
What's that? Oh, it is?
About a little over a year ago, I was traveling around the southeastern U.S. With a union organizer from Colombia named William Mendoza. And, of course, 3 out of 5 union organizers who are killed every year in the world are killed in Colombia with U.S. tax dollars. It's now the third biggest recipient of military aid after, I think, Israel and Egypt or something. And also, of course, the most violent country in the Western Hemisphere and the biggest drug-producing country. But none of this is coincidence, of course. Wherever U.S. military aid, the drugs and the violence tend to be right there, by no coincidence. And the biggest terrorist training camp in the world, located in Columbus, Georgia, where they train all the paramilitary organizations in South America how to torture and kill their populations. They've been training about 10,000 Colombians every year to go kill everybody there. So they've been killing a lot of union organizers in many cases with the more than the complicity of the corporations, the American corporations that are down there, but with their active encouragement and actual payment. So me and William were traveling around and talking about the situation. He was talking, I was singing about the situation. And the best day on the tour for William came the day after our talk. And he works at the Coca-Cola bottling factory in Barranca Bermeja in southern Colombia. His happiest day on the tour came at Warren Wilson College, this little hippie college in western North Carolina. And after we did our presentation, the next morning, we were going around to classes, and it was pointed out to us that the Coca-Cola machines on the campus, which we had previously noticed were ubiquitous, none of them were functioning. The situation maintained itself, and eventually the campus had to just get rid of them. Direct action gets the goods. Coke came to Colombia seeking lower wages. They got just what they came for. But as we turn the pages, we find the workers do not like the sound of their children's hungry cries. So they said, we'll join the union. They began to organize. So Coke called up a terrorist group called the AUC. Said, we've got some problems at the factory. The AUC went to the plant, killed 2 union men. Told the rest, you leave the union or we'll be back again. Well, Coke did not complain about this dirty deed. Why give workers higher wages when Coke is all they really need? They phoned the AUC, said, thanks, without you we'd go broke. And to show our appreciation, here's 100 cases of Coke. The baby drinks it in his bottle when the water ain't no good. The dog drinks it, but he don't know if he should. Some folks say it's the nectar of the gods, but Coke is the drink of the death squads. Coke is the drink of the death squads. That's the chorus. It's going to be their next corporate slogan, so you can learn it now. Be ahead of the pack.
Well, these workers wouldn't take this situation lying down. Some went up to Georgia, said, look what's happened to our town. You American workers get downsized. As for us, we just get shot. And those of us who live, our teeth begin to rot. 'Cause the baby drinks it in his bottle when the water ain't no good. The dog drinks it, but he don't know if he should. Some folks say it's the nectar of the gods, but Coke is the drink of the death squads. What is it? Coke is the drink of the death squads. Yes. Well, now that's the situation. What are you gonna do? 'Cause the death squads run Columbia and they're paid by me and you. We can let Coke rule the world, see what future that will bring. Or we can drink juice and smash the state. Now that's the real thing. 'Cause the baby drinks it in his bottle when the water ain't no good. The dog drinks it, but he don't know if he should. Some folks say it's the nectar of the gods, but Coke is the drink of the death squads. Coke is the drink of the death squads.
Oh gosh, I don't remember it. I'm sorry. I'll take other requests if I might remember. Oh, yeah, I'll get to that one. So I had a really good time in Moncton, New Brunswick. You know who's buried in Moncton? Anybody can tell me the most spectacular person buried in Moncton? I can't remember his name. The Canadian commando that burned down the White House in 1812. Died in battle later. In spite of the fact that the U.S. has invaded every other country in the Americas at least once, the mainstream history books like to say that the imperialist period in U.S. foreign policy was from 1846 to 1849. It's kind of a random, you know. But that was the time that the U.S. invaded Mexico and took most of it away and never gave it back. And so I guess that was just a little too extreme. They just figured, okay, that was imperialism, and everything. The rest is something else, you know. All the other invasions, that's something else. But the army sort of took most of Mexico away, and by the time they got into the southern areas, the more densely populated areas, they started deserting in large numbers, and then kind of stopped where they were, and you know, a lot of them went on to, you know, do better things and kill people, like, you know, I don't know what exactly. I'm imagining the hanging out on the beach and eating tortillas or something more interesting than slaughtering civilians. But there was a couple hundred people that took the whole desertion thing a step further, and this is a song about them. My name is John Riley. I'll have your ear only a while. I left my dear home in Ireland. It was death, starvation, or exile. When I got to America, it was my duty to go. Enter the army and slog across Texas to join in the war against Mexico. And it was there in the pueblos and hillsides that I saw the mistake I had made. Part of a conquering army with the morals of a bayonet blade. And there amidst all these poor dying Catholics, screaming children, the burning stench of it all, myself and 200 Irishmen decided to rise to the call. From Dublin City to San Diego, we witnessed freedom denied. So we formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side. We formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side. Yeah, you'll sing that with me, right? Because the thing is that, you know, we might start out just singing this chorus together, and then next thing you know, we'll turn into a chorus, you know, and from then, you know, we might become a battalion. I mean, these transitions happen, you know. We march neath the green flag of St. Patrick, emblazoned with Erin Gobra. Right with the harp and the shamrock and Libertad para la Republica. Just 50 years after Wolf Tone, 5,000 miles away, the Yanks called us a legion of strangers, and they can talk as they may. But from Dublin City to San Diego, we witnessed freedom denied. So we formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side. What'd we do? We formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side. Lovely. We fought them in Matamoros, where their volunteers were raping the nuns. In Monterrey and Cerro Gordo, we fought on as Ireland's sons. We were the red-headed fighters for freedom amidst these brown-skinned women and men. Side by side, we fought against tyranny, and I dare say we'd do it again. From Dublin City to San Diego, we witnessed freedom denied. So what did we do? We formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side. We formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side. Them in 5 major battles. Churubusco was the last. Overwhelmed by the cannons from Boston, we fell after each mortar blast. Most of us died on that hillside in the service of the Mexican state. So far from our occupied homeland, we were heroes and victims of fate. From Dublin City to San Diego, we witnessed freedom denied. So we formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side. From Dublin City to San Diego, we witnessed freedom denied. So we formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side. We formed the St. Patrick Battalion, we fought on the Mexican side.
Oh, yes.
I just spilled water all over the stage. So, Subcomandante Marcos with the Zapatista Army of National Liberation in Chiapas, he's been known to refer to the internationals who go to Chiapas to work alongside the Zapatistas as modern-day San Patricios. And this is a song about another one of those from a town that's only a few hours' drive south of here, which has been transformed from in the past year from one of the hotbeds of activism among the college towns of North America to probably the most mobilized activist community of any town of 50,000 in North America, Olympia, Washington. When she sat down in the dirt in front of your machine, a lovely woman dressed in red, you in military green. If you had met her in Jerusalem, you might have asked her on a date. But here you were in Gaza, rolling towards the gate. as your foot went to the floor. Did you recall her eyes? Did her gaze remind you that you've become what you despise? As you rolled on towards this woman and ignored all shouts to stop, did you feel a shred of doubt as you watched her body drop? As your caterpillar tracks upon her body pressed with 60 tons of deadly force, crush the bones within her chest. Could you feel the contours of her face as you took her life away? Did you serve your country well on that cool spring day? Back across the green line, back to the open shore. Was this just another day in a dirty war? When you looked out on the water, did you feel an empty void? Or was it just one more life you've taken, one more home destroyed? One more home destroyed. I'm going to do one more song, and then we're going to move on to other things, and eventually take a break, and then I'm later on going to do another set, and this would be the point at which I would normally mention that I have CDs for sale, but I don't, unfortunately, because they wouldn't let me take them into the country. So if you really want one of my CDs, and my mechanic and my dentist would really appreciate your CD orders, you have to. You know, you have to go to my website, which is davidrovics.com, and you know, do it through the mail. And also, it's all there for free download. You can download the stuff for free instead. That's also encouraged. And it was a time I'll always remember. I could never forget how reality came down around us like some Western movie set. And when the dust all settled, the sun shone so bright, and a great calm took over us like it was all gonna be alright. That's how it felt to be alive after the revolution. From Groton to Tacoma, on many a factory floor, the workers talked of solidarity and refused to build weapons of war. No more will we make missiles, we're gonna do something different. And for the first time, their children were proud of their parents. And somewhere in Gaza, a little boy smiled and cried after the revolution. Prison doors swung open, mothers hugged their sons. The Liberty Bell was ringing when the cops put down their guns. A million innocent people lit up in the springtime air. And Mumia and Leonard and Sarah Jane Olson took a walk in Tompkins Square. And they talked about what they do now after the revolution. Debts were all forgiven in all the neo-colonies. Soldiers left their bases, went back to their families. A non
non-aggression treaty was signed with every sovereign state. All the terrorist groups disbanded with no empire left to hate. And they all started planting olive trees after the revolution. George Bush and Henry Kissinger were sent off to the world court. Their plans for global domination were preemptively cut short. Their weapons of mass destruction were inspected and destroyed. Battleships dismantled, never again to be deployed. And the world breathed a sigh of relief after the revolution. Solar panels were on the rooftops, trains upon the tracks. Organic food was in the markets, no GMOs upon racks. And all the billionaires had to learn how to share. Bill Gates was told to quit his whining when he said it wasn't fair. And his mansion became a collective farm after the revolution. All the political poets couldn't think of what to say, so they all decided to live life for today. I spent a few years catching up with all my friends and lovers, sleeping till 11 home beneath the covers. And I learned how to play the accordion after the revolution.